Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. For this program, I want us to memorize a Bible verse. Would you say this out loud after me, no matter where you're at, in the kitchen or watching TV or watching the computer? Would you say this after me out loud? Ephesians 1:7. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Can you say the whole thing? Here we go. Ephesians 1:7. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Just one more time. Ephesians 1:7. In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. That's a crucial verse. For this program, we're going to go through that verse word by word. Let's pray. Father, as we talk now about the Christian gospel, the good news, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would give us faith in Christ to learn the good news of this verse. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. First two words, in Christ. That means salvation is only in Christ. It doesn't say in Buddha or in Muhammad or in the New Age movement. Salvation is only in Christ. There is a terrible false teaching that has invaded a lot of churches. It's called universalism. Universalism goes like this. Everybody goes to heaven. If you believe in Jesus, that's fine, but Buddha will get you there. Islam, in fact, you can be an atheist. God is love. Everybody goes to heaven. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus Himself said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by Me, period. Jesus said that. So, a couple of our church said, the lady said to me once, Pastor Tom, did I ever tell you what brought us to your church? And I'm a Lutheran. She said, we used to go to our other Lutheran church, more liberal church, and our Lutheran church pastor got in the pulpit and quoted John 14:6, I am the way and the truth, no one comes to the Father but by Me. And our pastor said, I don't know why Jesus said that. We know our God is bigger than that. And I said to my husband, he's correcting Jesus from the pulpit. Let's get out of here. the truth in this verse, the words in Christ means salvation is in Christ. Nowhere else. A man walks into the forest. He falls into a deep pit. He looks up, he can't get up. He cries for help. Muhammad walks into the forest, hears the cries, looks down, lifts his nose. It must be fate, the will of Allah, and he walks on. That's Islam. Buddha comes into the forest, hears the man's cries, looks down. If you can only work yourself up two-thirds of the way, I'll pull you up the last third. But the man couldn't move. He walked on. That's Buddhism. Confucius walks into the forest, hears the man's cries, looks down. Oh, foolish fellow, you fall into a pit? I give you wise proverb. If ever in forest again, do not fall into a pit. And he walked on. That's Confucianism. And then Jesus walked into the forest, heard the man's cry. Jesus got on all fours. He climbed all the way down to the bottom of that pit. He put the man on his shoulders. Jesus climbed up, scraping his own body, getting wounded in the process. And he put the man safely in the sunlight. That is Christianity. The first words are, in Christ, next words, we. That word means every Christian is part of the church. We is a plural thing. You don't have salvation all by yourself. We have salvation in Christ. Every Christian is to be part of the church. Now, I was at Taco Bell, and a lady, "Oh, Pastor Brock, love your TV show." And I said, "Why, thank you." And I said, "Where do you go to church?" "Oh, I don't go to church." I thought, then you shouldn't love our TV show, because regularly I teach here, every Christian needs to be part of the church. So I was at a garage sale. "Oh, Pastor Brock, remember me?" And here's a lady, maybe, I don't know, 45 or so. And I looked at her. "Yeah, hi, Billy, how are you?" I had confirmed her a few decades earlier when she was 13 at my Lutheran church. And we had a great talk. And I said, "So where do you go to church these days, Billy?" "Well, I don't go to church, but I believe in God." And I urged her, every Christian is to be part of the church. You know, Catholics teach that the Catholic Church is the one true church. There's no salvation outside of the church. But I'm a Protestant. Do you know that Protestants teach that too? The Reformers, Luther, Calvin, they taught there's no salvation outside of the church. Every Christian is part of the church. Well, people say, the Bible never says you have to go to church. Yes, it does. Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembly of yourself together with others. I remember when I was the assistant pastor at my church, the senior pastor said, "Did I ever tell you how I got Roy to come into church?" Roy was an older man of the church, and Roy never went to church. His wife and children were in church every Sunday. So my senior pastor said, "You know, I went over and I knocked on Roy's door. And I said, Roy, why don't you come to church with your wife and children? Why don't you worship the Lord with us?" Roy says, "Hope Lutheran Church, full of hypocrites." And Roger said, "Room for one more." And that comment got Roy into church. So if you don't go to church, for the sake of your eternal soul, start going to church. Next words, in Christ we, plural, have, present tense. That word means salvation is already ours. Present tense. And Jesus said in John 6, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." Present tense. You know, a lot of people, "Well, I hope I might have eternal life someday." Well, if you're in Christ, you've got it right now. This was a big deal for me. When I was about 20 years old, a verse that changed my life was 1 John 5:13. "I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And somebody explained that verse to me. "Tom, do you believe in Christ as the Son of God?" "Oh, I do." "Well, what can you know for sure you've got from now and according to that verse?" "What says eternal life? Will God lie? No. Will God keep his promise? Yes. So what can you know?" That's when the light bulb went on. I've known for sure that I'm saved ever since I'm 20 years old, because it's a present tense thing. If you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, claim 1 John 5:13 for your own. Next word. In Christ we have, the word, redemption. Let me define the word redemption. Redemption is to pay a price to set a slave free. The Apostle Paul took the term redemption from the Roman slave trade. And every Roman slave yearned for a redeemer, someone who would come and pay his price to his master so he could be set free. That's what Jesus did for us. He came and paid our sin debt on the cross so we could be set free and bought back to God. I think this has happened three times now, but I make pottery for a hobby. So I used to sell it out of the church office, and it went to missions. And so I've been doing this for many years. And three times now, I've been at a far corner of Minneapolis, and at a garage sale, somebody's selling a piece of my pottery for a dollar. So I'll buy it back. And so what I do is I pay the price to buy back my pottery. And that's what the word redemption means. Jesus paid our sin price so we could be forgiven and brought back, bought back to God. Next words. In Christ we have redemption through his blood. Now what does that mean? It simply means through his sacrificial death on the cross. In the Old Testament, a Jew would go to the temple with a lamb. They'd kill the lamb and the worshiper would be forgiven. In the New Testament, Jesus is the Lamb of God. We don't need a temple or to kill lambs anymore. And Jesus is our Lamb of God. He pays our sin debt so we can be forgiven. So the blood of Christ simply means his death on the cross. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Next words, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Here's the next lesson. God is a forgiving God. I remember years ago in seminary, I had a rather sinful week, and I got next to my bed that night, and I prayed for forgiveness, and then got up and went to sleep. And that night, I had a dream. And in the dream, there was a man with a long robe wearing a turban. He was on his face praying. And I watched in the dream, and he prayed, and he didn't get up. And he kept praying and praying, and he didn't get up. And in the dream, he never got up. And I heard a voice say, his God is an unforgiving God. And I woke up immediately knowing what it meant. The only reason I can get off my knees when I come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness, I've got a forgiving God. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, last words, according to the riches of his grace. That means salvation is a free gift you cannot earn. The word grace means God's unearned favor. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. So a friend of mine called yesterday and he said, I'm trying to share Christ with this friend of mine, but he keeps saying, I trust in God. I've led a good life. I'll go to heaven. What do I do? What do I say to him? And I said, I think you need to preach the Ten Commandments to this guy. I heard this story years ago. I still remember it. The pastor said that he had an 80-year-old Aunt Edith, a nice older lady, but not a Christian lady. And he said, one day my wife pushed me out the door and said, go talk to Aunt Edith about her soul. So he drove across town. She had a lovely home, sat in her living room. Aunt Edith, can I ask you two questions? Well, yes, Pastor. Question number one, if you died tonight, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I hope so. And he said, okay, the Bible says you can know where you're going to go, but let me ask you question number two. If you stood before God and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Well, Pastor, I think I've basically led a good life, and because I've led a good life, I think God will let me into heaven. And the pastor said, okay, Aunt Edith, let me take you through the Ten Commandments. You don't need to answer out loud, but just in your heart, let's go through the Ten Commandments. Let's see how good you are. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is God the most important thing in your life? You ever let your lovely home, your children, your grandchildren, anything more important to you than God? If so, you broke the first commandment. You deserve to be punished for your sins. Commandment number two, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Have you ever said, oh my God, oh Lord, ever taken Jesus Christ as swear words? If so, you've broken the second commandment. Commandment number three, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And Edith, do you worship God every week? Do you love to go to church? Or do you maybe make it Christmas and Easter? If so, you've broken the third commandment. Commandment number four, honor your father and mother. When you were a little girl, did you ever disobey your mom and dad? Did you ever sass them back? If so, you broke the fourth commandment. Commandment number five, thou shalt not kill. And he said when he got to this one, she kind of breathed easy. But he said, you know, the Bible says if you've ever hated anybody in your heart, you've killed him. He took her through 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and by the time he got done with Aunt Edith, she knew she wasn't going to make it. And he said, are you really going to stand before God on Judgment Day and say, let me in, I've been good? And she said, no, Pastor. And he said, where do you deserve to go when you die? And she said, "Hell, Pastor." And the pastor said, "Me too." And because you can't get to heaven by being good, because we're not. Because you can't get to heaven by the Ten Commandments, because we break them more than we keep them in thought, word, and deed. God gave us a whole different way to be saved. And he said to her, "Would you like to know for sure when you die, you go to heaven instead of hell?" And she said, "Please." And he told her what's called the gospel, the good news. Please listen to this. This is the most important thing you'll ever hear from me or anybody. Here's the good news, the gospel. Here we go. Up here is heaven. Heaven is God's perfect home. If you want to get into heaven, you have to be just like God is, absolutely perfect. And let's say that my billfold here represents sin. God won't let sin into heaven. If he did, you'd have hatred, murder, crime, rape, abortion, pornography. It'd be America all over again. So God doesn't allow sin into heaven. And this hand represents you and me, a typical human being, and the problem is we're all loaded with sin. We sin in thought, word, and deed daily. That's the bad news. Here's the good news, the gospel. 2,000 years ago, God came down from heaven, and God became a human being. He was born in a manger. His name was Jesus. He lived the perfect life we couldn't. When he was about 33 years old, he took our sins off of us, put them on his back. He carried our sins up to the cross. They put nails through his hands and feet, and all the sins that we deserve to get punished for, God punished Jesus in our place for our sins as our Redeemer so we could be saved. It killed him. He was buried. Our sins are buried with Christ. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He goes back to heaven, and now God promises you, no matter what sins you may have committed, if you will turn and put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you're going to heaven when you die. And he said that that 80-year-old Aunt Edith became a newborn babe in Christ that day. Let's put it all together. Here we go. Ephesians 1:7. In Christ, not in Buddha, not in Islam, in Christ, we, every Christian is to be part of the church. Make sure you find a good church and go regularly. In Christ, we have. It's not a future thing. If you're in Christ, you've already got it. In Christ, we have redemption. It means Jesus paid the price to bring you back to God so you belong to God again. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, through his atoning sacrifice on the cross. The forgiveness of our trespasses, we have a forgiving God according to the riches of his grace. The word grace means you can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. You just have to receive it as a free gift. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is from a viewer. Thank you for your program explaining the Trinity. The way I understand it, God the Father created Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the person of Jesus who comes into us when we are saved. Is this right?
No, I'm sorry, it isn't. And you don't want to say that Jesus is created, because then he's not the creator. The Bible teaches that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, the Father is God. So God the Father didn't create Jesus. Jesus has eternally been God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So that's improper. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that, but all of Christendom doesn't. That John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, especially Philippians chapter 2, teach that Jesus is God who became a human being. He didn't get his human body until he was born in Bethlehem. But before he was born, he was God eternally with the Father and the Spirit. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God in three persons. So that's not quite accurate. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Another letter from a viewer. What do you think about all the freak killer storms we've been having lately in the United States? Is it the Lord bringing judgment upon us?
Well, we got to be careful. I think Jesus said, do you think that tower that fell upon the people, that they were any worse sinners than anyone else? And Jesus said, no, but unless you repent, you're going to die the same way. And you will likewise perish. And so You know, Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes, don't think that the end is now, because it's not going to be yet. Because there's going to be, I think there will be panic and stuff, but he said the end is not yet. So, you know, they've had tornadoes and hurricanes and floods for thousands and thousands of years. You got to be careful on that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I understand correctly, you did not see the rapture happening prior to the 7 years of tribulation. Is that right?
Yeah.
The more I read scripture, the more I'm questioning what I've been taught my whole life.
Yeah, I think this lady was taught that what a lot of Christians in America believe is that 7 years before Jesus comes back at the second coming, Christians vanish and go to heaven. I don't see that in scripture. And the whole history of the church is not in favor of that. A woman had a vision in New England in the early 1800s where she was told it's going to be 7 years before Christ comes back, the Christians are going to vanish. And that made its way into the Scofield Bible notes and stuff. But I know a lot of sincere Christians believe in it. I just don't think it's biblical. So yeah, that's right. I believe in the rapture. The word rapture simply means caught up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll all be caught up. I think it's at the second coming, not 7 years before. Well, then Christians are going to go through the tribulation. Have you read what happened in the first 300 years of Christianity? We were boiled in oil. We were frozen on lakes. We were thrown to the lions. So I think Christians do go through tribulation. We don't go through the wrath of God. We're saved from that. But I think that's a reference to hell, not to the tribulation. So
okay.
There you go.
Here's another question from a viewer. A friend mentioned seeing someone who was a professed Christian gambling at the casino and felt it set a bad example. I'm a Christian too, but I don't see anything wrong with it. In this situation, is it fair to call that judgment? What are your thoughts, please?
Okay, so am I being judgmental by wondering if somebody should be spending time in the casino?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, full disclosure here, my dad ran the horse race track in Omaha, and I grew up around, I used to count the money in the back room from all the bets and stuff. So I want to try to be objective. Mona, if you and your husband go out to dinner and spend $40 at a nice restaurant, or you go to the horse race track or the casino and spend $40, are you sinning? If it's a problem, and it's eating up your life, stay away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, just be very, very careful. Does the Bible say it's a sin to gamble? I don't know of a verse that says that, but some Christians would say, but it's not a good use of God's provision for you. Well, you could say the same thing at a restaurant. But so I'm just going to say, everybody, you pray on that. But I got to add this, though. I have walked through casinos before, and mm-hmm. It's so sad to see mostly older people just going like this, hour after hour. It just looks depressing to me. So there you go.
All right. Isn't it narrow-minded to say that Jesus is the only way of salvation?
Well, whether it's narrow-minded or not, it's what he said. And everybody, you got to read John 14:6, where Jesus says, I'm the only way of salvation. And the apostles agreed. You got to read Acts 4:12, where the apostles said, there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved than the name of Christ. So I think there's an arrogant way of holding to that, and there's a humble way. And the humble way is, look, Jesus is the only way of salvation. I'm saved, but not because of me. Because I'm a sinner. I'm saved because of him. So I think we got to do it humbly. But we don't do what so many are doing in our day and age. Whole denominations which are getting into this universalism that everybody goes to heaven. If that's true, bring the missionaries home.
Mm-hmm.
Why did the apostles go out to convert the world if everybody is already saved?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we are saved by grace, aren't you guilty of teaching works righteousness by saying you have to go to church?
Well, we're saved by grace, which means we're saved by what Christ did on the cross. It's a free gift that we can't earn. I can't do anything to save myself. It's totally by the grace of God. Amen. But once you're saved by the grace of God, he starts changing your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be perfect till heaven, but your life changes. If you have no desire to worship God with his people in the community of the church, I think you got to ask yourself if you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a Christian without
the church, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you're going to last very long all by yourself trying to serve the Lord. And I've said this before. I get emails from people that watch our show. Pastor Brock, I don't go to church anymore. I just read my Bible. Well, your Bible says to go to church. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 10:25. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
All right. A letter from a viewer. Which is the best conservative Lutheran denomination? Also, which synod is most conservative, Wisconsin or Missouri? I want to follow the most conservative.
I think, okay, just so for people know what's going on here, I'm a Lutheran. The big Lutheran church of which you and I used to be a part is called mm-hmm. the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It has become radically liberal. The church we left, mm-hmm. and we joined what's called the Association of Free Lutheran Church, very biblical bunch. But you know what? Pretty much every other Lutheran denomination in America is conservative. Mm-hmm. It's just the big one, the ELCA, that's gone over the cliff. And on things like universalism and abortion, homosexuality, etc. So if you want a good conservative Lutheran denomination, just stay away from the ELCA. Pretty much everything else is good. I will say this, though. A couple of them do have women preachers. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's biblical. So I personally wouldn't want to sit under a woman preacher because 1 Timothy 2 says women shouldn't preach over adult men. Women could teach children of women. But God put, you know, Jesus chose 12 male disciples. Mm-hmm. And so I would, but stay away from the ELCA, but almost all the other ones are good.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can I find?
Oh, I'm sorry. And Missouri and Wisconsin Synod, they're pretty much evenly conservative, I think. Yeah.
Next question. How can I find a good church?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've said this many times, but here we go again. You go church shopping. Mm-hmm. You visit various churches. And then at the door, the pastor's shaking hands. And you went to church and didn't hear anything bad, but you got to be careful. Because sometimes a preacher can sound good, but then you get down to what he really believes. So you're shaking hands. Pastor, I'm thinking of maybe coming to this church. Can I just ask you a few questions? You can do this in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation? Tell me what you believe about premarital sex, abortion, and homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Those questions will scout somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has a clear, oh, of course there's a hell. Of course Jesus is the only way to be saved. Well, of course premarital sex is wrong. That's a good church. If you get tap dancing, well, that's a complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you want to go to a different church.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, listen, everybody, thanks for joining us today, and God bless you. If you want to watch our programs anytime for free, you go to pastorstudy.org, and you can see them there. Pray for our ministry. The more support people give us, the more we add TV stations, so pray on that if you would, and there you go.
Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God bless you. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.